I'm not going to give myself a letter grade, but I'll say I'm very pleased with the session. I think we accomplished a lot of good things on behalf of the constituency of the state of Rhode Island.
Elaborate a little bit on that. What do you think were the top accomplishments and top frustrations?
Well, the top accomplishments, I would say, on behalf of the folks that wanted the master lever passed, we got the master lever passed after years of frustration, so I'm very pleased that we accomplished that on their behalf. We lowered the corporate tax from 9 to 7% in the budget. We raised the exemption on the estate tax from $921,000, I believe, to $1.5 million and got rid of the cliff on the estate tax. So we accomplished good things for the economy. And, you know, relative to the corporate tax, we now have the lowest corporate tax in New England, and that's going to make the state of Rhode Island very competitive when we're being looked at nationally. And it's going to raise our rankings from near the bottom, I would suggest, considerably. We'll see how high we go.
As we know, you came out on top of the battle to become Speaker after former Speaker Fox unexpectedly was led to resign after the events of March 21st. What would you say the most important thing you've learned since becoming Speaker is?
You work hard to serve your colleagues in the House, and you work hard to serve the constituents of the state of Rhode Island, and people will respond to that. And I am very pleased to be Speaker. I love serving. It's a position that you have to serve from, and that's what I've learned. It's sometimes a thankless position. I'm honored to serve it. I work a lot of hours each day. I go home very tired after working on behalf of the people, and I love it. It's great public service.
In terms of the economy, we see how Rhode Island's budget has grown by about $1 billion over the last 2 years. Do you think state spending is too high? And if so, what are your plans for trying to cut that down in the future?
Well, you always want to be as efficient as you can. I mean, a lot of the state growth is in the federal side of the budget, Medicare, Medicaid, and so forth. So that population, those needs are continuously growing. We have an elderly population. We take very good care of our developmentally disabled citizens. And I think most of us are proud that we take good care of those folks and our elderly folks.
So you think state spending is, the state portion of the budget is at about the right level?
I'm not going to say in gross terms what level it should be at. It should be at a level that serves the needs of our population, of all the citizens of the state of Rhode Island. What we do when we look at individual issues is we try to be as efficiently as possible and balance the needs of folks and try to make the right decisions. And in the 90 days that I've been Speaker, I think that we've managed the issues we've looked at very well.
Also on the economy, we know how Rhode Island faces a structural deficit that is projected to grow to hundreds of millions of dollars within a few years. What is your thinking about what the state should do about that?
One of the big problems with Rhode Island is a lackluster economy. And what we did in this budget is we made the economy and job growth the priority. And I think the investments we've made, the tax cutting that we were able to accomplish, is going to help the economy long term. A vibrant economy will churn out a lot of revenue and will deal with the structural deficit problems. But for a better economy, we're going to really have to take out the scalpel and do a lot of cutting, and it's going to be cutting that the citizens of the state really don't like. My plan for dealing with the structural deficit is to create a vibrant economy, to grow the economy, and to grow revenues.
You refer to some of the cuts, the cut in the corporate tax rate, the increase in the exemption for the estate tax. These things have been hailed by the business community and others, but we also see how the gas tax will go up next year. There's going to be the increase in the vehicle inspection fee, increase in the real estate conveyance tax. Some people say that there's too much nickel and diming of Rhode Islanders in these kind of moves. What do you say?
Well, you have to take care of the needs of the folks. And what I always look at is what are our neighbors doing? And on all, well, two of them, excluding the gas tax, we're lower than our neighbors in Connecticut and Massachusetts. So Rhode Island has to be doing something right. Relative to the gas tax, I would suggest that people are paying much less in gas tax than they ever have before. It's a price per gallon and not a tax on the a percentage of the dollar amount. We're all driving smaller cars. We're buying less gas than we ever did before. So we're all actually paying much less in gas tax than we ever did before. And our infrastructure costs much more to repair. So that's a structural problem that will keep growing. So rather than looking at the price per gallon, let's look at what we're actually yielding from the gas tax, and that's a lot less. So
we heard during the budget debate, Representative Patricia Morgan of West Warwick said that, in her view, Rhode Islanders are getting nickeled and dimed, and there are some of these other increased costs for vehicle inspection fees. That's part of the plan to eliminate tolls on the Sconnet River Bridge, the real estate conveyance tax. So what do you say? Is she wrong to say that Rhode Islanders are being nickeled and dimed too much?
I would say she's wrong. I would say it's easy to criticize someone else's work product. Quite frankly, I haven't seen her work product or her idea to do anything. So rather than be negative, what I've done is created an infrastructure fund. And all of our citizens, our businesses, all of our consumers need good infrastructure, safe infrastructure, free of potholes, safe bridges. So we've worked on accomplishing that without having to go to borrowing every year as we have. So I think this plan is sounder, and I think this plan saves the citizens money because you're not paying it in interest costs. So one way or another, you're going to pay for infrastructure repair. This is a cheaper, more balanced, more comprehensive, sounder way to do it. In all the years that I've been here, I've never seen a perfect work product, and there isn't perfection. You do the best you can with limited resources.
I saw on the Anchor Rising blog some of the comments when you spoke to the Rhode Island Taxpayers Group recently. You were talking about the issue of image, that if someone walked into a bar in Texas and criticized Texas, they'd leave on a stretcher. If someone did the same thing in Rhode Island and criticized Rhode Island, they'd be bought a round of drinks, and that you want to improve Rhode Island's reputation. How do you go about doing that?
Well, I'm pleased that however I'm doing it, I'm doing it. People have confidence in my speakership, so I want to promote the state. I want to be an individual that's got a high-profile position that works hard every day to promote the state. I'm promoting the state. I want to enact budgets with good policies. I want to pass good policies in the House and the General Assembly so that the public has confidence in the state, because I believe everyone loves the state of Rhode Island. We have such diverse, great things about the state. You go into one area of the state and you have historic sites. We have a wonderful coastline. We have a great transportation system. You cross over a bridge and you're in Newport, great tourist destination. This is the greatest state in the Union. I love this state. I'm very proud of this state. I believe the citizens of this state are very proud of this state, but they get frustrated with some of the policies. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move as hard and quickly as I can to change the policies, and you've seen that in my first 90 days as Speaker.
We also have some guy named Buddy Cianci. Do you think his latest comeback is good or bad for Rhode Island's reputation?
I'll leave that to the citizens of the city of Providence to make that determination.
Have you met with Cianci since becoming Speaker?
I've met with him just informally and in restaurants and so forth, and I like Buddy. I think he's a great guy and a gentleman that I enjoy having conversation with.
Have you decided who you're going to vote for governor?
I have not made a final decision on that.
What do you expect to base your decision upon?
Who will be the best leader for the state of Rhode Island? Who will help work collaboratively to grow our economy, concentrate on jobs, and help me complete the work that I've started, promoting the state, making our citizens feel more comfortable with the policies of the state, and just work to promote the economy and jobs. I think if we all work towards that goal, the state will be very successful. People's view of the state will certainly change to the positive.
You've got months to go until the 2015 session starts, but what are your top priorities right now for the 2015 session?
It's going to be exactly what it was in the 14th session, and the citizens of the state seem to respond to that. So we're going to stick with jobs in the economy. I'm going to reach out to experts in the state again at our different universities and ask them for ideas on how to best move the state forward. I have some ideas, but I want to collaborate with the experts. Before January, we'll have ideas. In January, I'll collaborate with my colleagues in the House, and we'll put forth the plan to continue to move Rhode Island the right direction.
How long would you hope to remain as Speaker, and what benchmark, what criteria should we use, the citizens of Rhode Island, in measuring your effectiveness?
I'm not going to say how long I plan on staying. All speakers have a life cycle. I plan on staying as long as I'm effective in the job, and the voters will know how to assess my effectiveness. They'll either be pleased with the job I do, with the results in the economy, or they won't. I'm going to work as hard as I can to make the citizens proud, to move the state in the right direction, to enact policies that create economic growth and job growth. So, you know, we'll measure my speakership against the results that we gain in those areas.
House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello, thank you very much for sitting down with us.
Thank you, Ian. Pleasure to be with you.